The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Game day for the San Jose Sharks. Let's get right into it as we are now joined by former Sharks goalie, now on the Sharks Audio Network, Alex Stalock. Of course, that is a 3:30 pregame today, 4 o'clock go time with Dan Ruzanowski right here on the Sharks Audio Network. It'll be a 6:30, 7 o'clock respective start time for Alex in Philadelphia as they take on the Flyers. Alex, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Oh, not much. Just hanging out in the hotel. And we just had right at about 2 o'clock, which is right when you're probably starting hitting your REM as an NHL player during your nap time in the afternoon. In Philadelphia here at the Ritz, they decided to do a test fire alarm for the boys. So I'm sure as they just shut their eyes, they just got woken up by a very obnoxious beeping and a nice young gentleman that came on and said, "I apologize for any inconvenience." So I'm sure the players just got woken up and are real thrilled with that.
Did that ever happen to you during your career? And did you wonder if the other team put somebody up to it?
Yeah, I think there was a few of those. And, you know, in the middle of the night, there was a few times where you just stay put and like, come on, really? There can't be a fire, can there?
Let me ask you this, because I've talked to some former players who said they couldn't nap on game day. They would go and garden or go for a walk. Were you able to get a nap in?
You know, as my career went on, I lost that ability to just eat and immediately get back and nap for like 3 hours. I mean, I remember early on in my pro career and even back to my college days, I could get home from the pregame meal and I'd hit my pillow and I'd be sleeping in 5 minutes. And I felt like every year I got older, I'd be losing time on my naps. And by the end, it was so hard. If I could get like 20, 30 minutes by the end of my career, I was like, wow, I got some sleep today. It gets a little tougher. You got a little bit more once you have kids and real life and you have more cares, I guess, in the world other than just hockey alone. It's a little bit tougher to turn it off. You know,
no, it is legit. And I understand that at 43 years old with two kids, the ability to nap starts to fade away unless you're truly tired. But that's different when you're a professional athlete. Things are a little bit more pressing on your ability to perform at a high level. I wanted to start with you on the young kids as a goalie, because I work with the goalie for the Earthquakes. And so I always appreciate the goalie perspective. And you know, Macklin Celebrini a lot of times will look off the goalie and either shoot or set up a pass. From your perspective, how alarming would that be? Because Macklin is such a heads-up player. He's almost never looking at the puck, and he's often looking, the opposite direction of where the puck's going to go.
Yeah, and that's what makes him so incredible, too, is he plays with his head up the whole time. You think back of some of the players that young when I was coming up, and the Patrick Kanes and Sidney Crosbys, their head's up the whole game. It's never down. They never get hit. It seems like they're so intelligent. But then when they get the chance to attack a goalie, you know, they have the ability to look the goalie off, and, you know, they'll sell that they're going to pass it on a 2-on-1 or an odd man rush. And they have the ability to shoot without looking, you know, at the net, and they know where open areas are. He's so good with his release being deceptive that he can fool a goalie. A lot of times, you know, he can sell that he's going to shoot high. It ends up going low on the ice, or he can sell that he's going low and he beats goalies high or to the short side. His ability to change angles with the puck and what he can do with the puck makes it so tough for opposing goalies. And we were just talking about a stat this morning. He leads the league in percentage of points that go through him when he's on the ice. I think it's like 84%. We talked about that on the broadcast the other night, and how the puck continuously goes through him and his ability to disperse the puck. And, you know, he's got that rare ability where when he gets a chance to score, he does that. But you saw his setup to Colin Graf against Carolina the other night. And you know, it seems like he's got eyes in the back of his head all the time and froze the goalie again. And the goalie had no chance. And on a nightly basis, I don't know how many times you say, wow, or did he just do that? It is, it's fun to call games when he's on the ice.
I know that you probably got scored on early in your career at times, but a goal 33 seconds in is pretty fast. Is it hard for a goalie to shake that? I mean, listen, I know you guys are good at having a bad memory and moving on, but I mean, the game's barely started at that point and suddenly you're trailing.
Yeah, no, you definitely that's the part of being a goalie is you got to have the ability to shake that. And I think you have that here, not only with Ned, but you see it in the young guy with Askarov. And I think just mentally between the ears, it's such a huge part of the position at goalie. And he just seems he has a personality, he has a mentality for that position. And sometimes when you get scored on early in a game, I mean, obviously you don't want to give up any goals as a goaltender, but sometimes it wakes you up. It's like, all right, here I am. We got to get going here, And I think, in that case, Carolina's goalie that night, Kochetkov, played a stellar game the rest of the way. And, both ways, it was a great game, goaltender wise. And, Orzovsky talked about it after the game. Just thought it was a complete team effort to go on and beat that team on the road, a team that's going to play probably deep into the Eastern Conference playoffs this year. It was a fun game to watch.
You bring up that goalie mentality, and it's funny because, Ned, obviously, he's a natural born English speaker, so he's just a fun guy and always has a good personality and, always willing to give really lengthy answers. And I remember how just amazingly furious he was, but trying to hide it after the first game of the year when he had the weird bounce from Eichel that tied it, and then he came out and got caught out in overtime, and he was, just furious. But then the next day is all smiles and like joked about it the next time I interviewed him. And then Askarov, we had one against the Kings back on the 28th of October where he was just furious. But then again, the next day he's all smiles and laughing about it. I mean, is that a skill that you developed? Because I would imagine when you're probably younger, you would still be thinking about a goal the next day. But then did you eventually just learn, like, hey, I got to forget about this. I just got to move on.
Yeah, you can't carry it with you, and you just got to kind of brush your hands and say that's it, move on. And you take a few minutes after the game to really think about it. And I know guys now the ability to get their hands on the video, it can come so quick and you can get all your touches and you go through it once. Okay, I saw what I saw. I saw what I needed to see. Now it's time to move on. You got another day tomorrow. It's a long season. It's 82 games, and it looks like it's going to be a season where there's going to be a workload for both goalies that it's going to be a fairly decent split, and it's going to be they're going to be called on quite a bit where you're not going to go stretches where it's going to be 2 weeks without getting a start. It just doesn't seem like it's going to go that way. And no, for them that ability, you talk about Ned first start of the year, and you want to come out of the gates and just start so well and get that feeling that everything's going so well. And for most of that game it was, and then fortunately, some events occurred at the end where bounces don't go your way. And, I think you look at that, you take the positives out of it, you wash away, what took place, and you move on. And both goaltenders have. And the goaltender position, I mean, you think back, I mean, only, 10, 15 years ago, you'd have so many goalies up in the 9.2, 9.3 save percentage. And the league average now is almost right around 90%. And the game's changed. There's so much east-west plays now and a lot of seam plays. And you tip your cap to these young kids coming in and how skilled they are. It's just, it's a tough position now. I go to these skates, I go to the practices, I watch these goalies, and I just like shake my head. I'm like, I don't even know how they track these pucks.
It's dude, it's crazy how fast they come in now, and I know the new sticks bend a little bit more, and then you've got guys like Connor Bedard. He's doing that weird full body kind of twist while he's also, I guess they call it a push pull on his shot to kind of maximize the whip of the stick. I mean, especially if you have somebody who can do that inside the circles. Like, it's one thing to have Ovechkin on top of the circle blasting away. That gives you a little bit of, reaction time. But if Bedard can hit it that hard, coming out of the bottom of the circle, that's nearly impossible. That's like facing a 100 mile per hour fastball, but from like half the distance.
Trust me. I shake my head when I see some of his goals, and they have the ability. And Austin Matthews is another guy too. They use that stick as like a slingshot, and it's almost like a lacrosse style. But they get so much torque and they get the flex down, so dialed down almost to a science now for the perfect flex that works for their motion. And they change the angle so much. It starts out wide, and you talk about Bedard, and he brings it in close to his feet. And it's hard to pick up the release. It's coming through a screen most times, and it amazes me when the goalies actually make a save on him because it's almost like it's an accident because he's been doing this since he's been a kid. And Celebrini and Smith, and even Kurashev, you watch these guys that can really shoot the puck, and it's pretty incredible.
Colin Graf has been rewarded with his play, moved up to the top line with Celebrini and Smith. I know he does not yet have the offensive upside. I think he eventually could have a lot more, especially if he gets more top line minutes. But I just love that kid's game. I feel like his instincts, he's always in the right place at the right time. He'll win those puck battles along the boards. He's got a, you know, he kind of looks smaller than he actually is. He's got a pretty big frame, and he's even bigger than he was a year ago, and he's starting to learn how to use it, and he's not afraid to get in guys' faces now as he's been in the league for a little bit. But, you know, with his play on the PK and now getting power play minutes, like, he just looks like he has a very, very complete game that is rapidly evolving in the last month.
Yeah, when you say right place at the right time, and that's not by accident. He is an intelligent hockey player. His hockey IQ is through the roof, and there's a reason why there was 32 teams knocking on his door when he was an undrafted free agent coming out of college.
Right.
And, you know, it was a huge score for San Jose to end up with him because he's a guy that's going to play up and down the lineup. He can play on the top line. He can play on the bottom line. He's on the penalty kill. Now you said he's on the power play. He can play in any situation. And, you know, you talk about the goal he had 33 seconds into the Carolina game. Well, it's not on accident that he's there. He's smart. He thinks the game. He gets on the right side of the Carolina defense. When he gets his stick on the ice, and he doesn't miss when he gets a chance. And at this stage in his career, already be called on as a top penalty kill guy, talks about what Coach Warsawski thinks about him as a hockey player. And now to get rewarded to start playing on the offensive side. And I think the offensive game is going to come. It takes time in the NHL to figure it out. He hasn't really been set up fully, you know, to put those big numbers up because I think they wanted him to really focus on the defensive side of the game. He has. He's been strong in that. They've seen that. Now he's getting a chance with Celebrini and Smith. And you're seeing already that he got rewarded. And it's a line again tonight that's going to, I think, you know, match up against, you know, a former Western Conference player in Trevor Zegras. They're going to match up against that top line, and they're not looking to just shut these top lines down either. They want to go out and outplay them, and that's what I love about this young group at this age in their career. It's pretty incredible to watch, not to just hang in there, but to outplay the line that they match up against.
I know that people are often very impatient with prospects, and especially with blue liners. I mean, people look at Mook Medulla, and people look at Sam Dickinson, and, you know, depending on who you ask, somewhere between 100 and 200 games. Some people say it's closer 150 to 200 for an NHL defenseman to really understand the role. Well, what did you look for when you were playing with young D-men to be like, oh, okay, he's getting it now. He's figuring out the game.
Yeah, and it's funny you throw out the numbers. And I remember there was a scout years ago that he talked about the 250 number. And you know what? That's not even NHL games. A lot of these kids are bypassing the AHL now,
right,
where you have the time to really slowly develop and take your time and get comfortable. Because it could be a confidence issue. You jump right into the NHL and all of a sudden it's fast and you get beat and you lose your confidence. Then you go down and now you feel like it's a big step backwards. What's going on? But it just seems like the kids are ready now. But you notice it just in the small little plays and always ending up on the defensive side and his play without the puck too. And realizing what your assignments are in the defensive zone. And, you know, like I said, just being on the correct side of the puck and being strong on your sticks, because you guys are hungry to score in this league. They're a little bit stronger than a junior in college, and you have to be able to adapt. And, you know, you mentioned those two guys, Muck and Dickey, and those are guys that are learning to train. You know, they're learning by fire. They're getting reps, and Dickey's going to get back in there tonight. And Muck looks like he's going to maybe be on the outside again, but he's putting in the work off the ice. And as a young defenseman, you have to understand that sometimes watching games too, it benefits your game from up top.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And, you know, that I think that's probably harder for fans to accept than the actual players, because the players probably recognize things that they can use the next day. And every time a coach is doing something with a young player, it's often kind of a test moment, I've heard, like to see how they react, see what they do the next time they're in, see if they do learn from up top. So, you know, I think those guys are looking at everything as an opportunity. And the defensive structure, to me, what worked really well in that last game is that even though Nedeljkovic made some phenomenal saves and he had a great game, and I think he's had a really good year, honestly. I know that Askarov gets more of the, you know, the celebration because he's, you know, the big prospect, but Nedeljkovic has been great. But there's been so much of the Sharks' work to contest passes, to contest shots, and they're doing a much better job of funneling things to the outside. How visible was that to you when you were playing, when you're saying, oh, okay, they're reading the lanes, they can't penetrate up the middle, they can't get into the slot, they can't create grade A's? Was that something that a team would build into throughout the game, or was it usually evident from the start that your defense was on it that day with its structure?
Well, they had a little bit of a reset practice in Dallas. The team stayed overnight in Dallas, and they got up the next morning and had a practice. And it was one of those practices where it wasn't go out and get the legs going and touch the puck and get a sweat in. It was, there was time where it was 5 minutes spent on their knees at the whiteboard with the coach. And, you know, sometimes you win games, you go on stretches where you win games and you get comfortable, maybe you start cheating the game a little bit and you start getting bad habits. They start leaking into your game. Then it starts showing up and you get blown out, which what happened against Washington. Then you go into Dallas and things don't go their way, didn't get a ton of offensive zone time. So that practice, you know, obviously it's not something you want to do on the road, is have to go into a practice rink before you fly, but it was well worth it. They had a reset practice. They came out against Carolina. I thought they did a great job initially of clearing the front of the net. Dallas did a great job of getting in the eyes of Askarov, not letting him see any pucks clean. And I think early on in that Carolina game, Ned had the ability to get comfortable and get into that game. And the first five shots were, you know, it came from a distance. Like you said, they came from the outside. He had the ability to see them and track them. And for a goalie, that's a good way to get in the game and feel the puck and feel confident. And then as the game went on, Carolina's a team that wants to play in the offensive zone. They got some big, heavy forwards with Staal and Svechnikov and Kotkaniemi, guys that want to eat the puck along the wall and play in the offensive zone. But Coach Warsawski talked about defending with a purpose and playing with urgency in the defensive zone. And they did it. The defensemen and the forwards did a great job of that. Ending plays on the wall and ending it early and having the ability to stretch Carolina's D out and get out of the zone. And they didn't spend a ton of time in their defensive zone until, you know, maybe the third period when Carolina made their push.
How fun is it for you to watch Ryan Warsawski being roughly the same age as you? And, you know, this is the first point in my career where I'm working with a head coach that's younger than me. And it was funny when he got hired, both my kids, I was like, yeah, and he's young too. They're like, well, how old is he, Dad? And I was like, oh, he's 37. This is when he got hired. And they both just looked at me and said, that's not that young. I was like, well, thanks, guys. Now I feel that much better about myself. But it's cool. Like, you're watching him, and he understands the world that a lot of these young players come up with. He's, you know, I imagine it's a little bit different with Coach Q and his view of social media than Ryan Warsawski. And that's nothing against Coach Q. I'm just saying there's a generational divide, and Ryan Warsawski is aware of the modern realities of the athlete, probably a little bit more so.
He is. And you can see that changing a little bit in the NHL, and there's a new young regime kind of moving in that coaching, in that coaching position. You see it in Pittsburgh and the success they've had. And I think Warsawski's a great fit here. You got a young group who's, you know, and Warsawski's a guy that's won in the American League twice. Yeah. at a high level. And, you know, he's a great fit here. And you got a young group, they're learning together. And, you know, just like a player, you learn as you go. And I think you're seeing his smarts for hockey, his hockey IQ, his brain, the way he thinks the game, the way he, you know, adapts to the players, the way he communicates. I think it goes a long way with this group. And you see, you know, for example, just how they responded against Carolina. You go through a couple game lull where things aren't going well. The team takes the message. They get it. They move on. They go out and probably play, honestly, their best 60 minutes of the year.
The other thing that I like about Warzo is that he has comedic timing. He'll riff in his post games, and I've seen him kind of joke with the players too. And I think that probably goes a long ways as well to know that your coach can kind of laugh at situations.
That's exactly it. The new generation, I think the relationship you have with your coach goes a long way, because, you know, you're not Quenneville, because I know players love playing for him, but there's times in the past where you hear certain stories about coaches where you can't even talk to them. There's no communication, and that makes it hard. You know, you never know where you're at. And I think the game's changed in that way. And to have a more relationship with your player, I think it goes a long way with each player. And you just see it on the ice, and, you know, good for him to realize that as a coach. And you don't need to come in and be this big, tough customer and make everything impossible. And the guys not want to go to the rink. You want to make the rink a spot to go and enjoyable. And I think, you know, Warsawski does a tremendous job with that.
Alex, appreciate your time, man. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk soon. All right, man.
All right. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Great insights there with Alex Stalock, doing work with Dan Rusinowski on the Sharks Audio Network. Again, you'll hear him today, 3:30 go time on pregame, 4 o'clock game time. The Sharks look to make it two in a row and take two out of their first three on the road. They bounce back after a tough, not bad loss, but a tough loss Friday against Dallas with that quality win against Carolina on Sunday. Can they repeat it against a pretty good Flyers team? They're not great, but they are good. The Sharks today currently occupying the second wild card spot in the Western Conference, 14-13-3, 31 points through 30 games played. Join us for the broadcast, Dan Ruzanowski and Alex Stalock, right here, 3:30 pregame. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.
Keep it by Will Smith. Gives set up Rainey. Makes a nifty move. Throws to the front. And Graf tips it and scores. Tic-tac-toe. Great keeping by Will Smith. A beautiful move. Spinning in the slot by Celebrini. And how about Graf? Just put his stick down and banged it home. Cotton Graf makes it 1-0 San Jose. His fifth goal of the season. 33 seconds after the opening faceoff.